believe that Christmas is a time where we get to love one another and extend the love of God to our family and friends. And at this church here, we don't want you to be by yourself this Christmas, to feel that there's a sense of loneliness, feel that there's no family, because we want to be your family. We want to be your friend. We want to just do life with you. So if you are free, if you have no plans, all right, please stay back. There's some entertainment. There's some activities for the kids, some food. I've been told there's an ice cream van. Is that right? Guys, I've been told ice cream van, all you can eat ice cream for 5 minutes. No. How long, Ken? Ken, for 1 hour, right? 1 hour. Guys, this is the strategy. Don't go for the meat first. Go for the ice cream first. Get as much money off them, right? And then go to the meat, okay? So 1 hour, enjoy. Anyhow, I'm going to share a very short message on Christmas. And I titled the sermon, Worship King Jesus. And you go, well, what's that going to do with Christmas? Well, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to me, with me to Matthew chapter 2, just verses 1 and 2. It's on the screen behind me. I'll read, and then I'll pray, and we'll start. Let me read the Word of God. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, verse 2, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Let me pray. Father God, I pray now that you would help me to expound your word to your people. I pray, God, that they'll hear you, Lord. Hear what you have to say to them, God. Lord, I pray that you will strengthen me in this time, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, when something is important to you, right? If something is important to you, isn't it true that it somehow always come out in a conversation? Is that right? I mean, if something you are so excited about, you want everyone to know about it. You might take a photo of it, put it on your Facebook status, Instagram, because it's a topic of interest, right? And if one of your friends happened to mention that particular topic, wow, you know, you are off at it and you want to talk about it on and on and on. I was in Sydney just a day ago and I ate at this very famous restaurant called Pho Ang in Bankstown. Now Pho, for those who don't know, it's a Vietnamese noodle soup. And apparently in Bankstown, this Pho Ang place, it's the best noodle soup. And I'm there and I love my pho. So obviously, what do you think I'll be doing? I'll take a photo of it. I'll post it on my Facebook page. I want the whole world to know that I enjoy this because it's such great joy to me because it's important to me. In fact, it getting into a sermon this morning means it's important, right? You're with me? So the hot topic for Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, the hot topic is the worship of God. As you read through Matthew, you find out that all Matthew wants to do is talk about worshiping Jesus. That this Messiah requires us to be worshipped. In fact, Matthew will talk about worship more times than all the other gospel. And that's what we see right here. At the very beginning, right here, we see men from the east coming to this King of Israel, King of the Jews, to worship. There are 2 points to my sermon. For those who know, I'm a 2 or 3 point preacher. So this morning, 2 points. The 2 points are, everyone is called to worship Jesus. Everyone. And the second point is, just come as you are to worship Jesus. Everyone is called to worship Jesus. Look carefully in the text again in verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, and behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. This little word here, behold, means to shock the original readers. Behold, wise men from the east. I'm not quite sure where they were kings or whether they were astrologers, I'm not quite sure, but the text tells me is that they came from the east. And what we need to understand is that the east was most likely Babylon, most likely Persia, Arabia, and the east were people who are not actually part of God's story. Because if you read the Bible, it's about the Jewish people. And right here, at the very beginning of Matthew's gospel, the king of the Jew is born, and behold, strangers, people from the east, came looking for him. Now, if you know a bit about your Bible, and for those who've come to church, you would know that the Jews are God's people, and anyone outside of God's people, we call them Gentiles. So here we have a Gentiles coming to worship a Jew. People from the east would come to worship this baby born into a Jewish family. In verse 2, we see right there, they would say, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." Gentile men came looking for a Jewish baby to worship him. Christmas is a reminder that Jesus should be the object of our worship for everyone. Not just the Jews, for everyone. We're not to worship our family time, because there's a tendency of worshiping our time during Christmas. We're not to worship the holiday break that we're about to have, not to worship those eating gatherings that we tend to do and post online, not to worship the shopping trips or worship those wonderful presents that we'll be opening, worship Father Christmas, Santa, or to worship ourselves. No. At Christmas is a reminder that everyone, we are called to worship King Jesus. Jews, Gentiles, servant, master, weak, strong, rich, poor, everyone. Whether you are a Christian or not, the Christmas message is a reminder that the object of humanity's worship is King Jesus himself. That is the reason why I believe at the very commencement of the gospel writing, you would have these wise men from the east, Gentiles, coming to look for a baby born in a Jewish family, and all they want to do is to worship him. It is a reminder for you and I that we are called to all worship Jesus alone. Philippians 2:9, written by Paul, one of the apostles, he writes this: "Therefore God has highly exalted him," and that him is Jesus, "and bestowed him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord." Everyone, we are called to worship Jesus. If we go to the very end of the New Testament in Revelation 15:4, "Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." What is the righteous act? Well, if you follow through the story of Christmas, it doesn't end with Jesus being born. What Michael said, we find the climax on the cross. This wonderful act that is revealed that God would die for us. That God would, you know, trade our spot, take our sin once and for all, you know, wipe all our sins clear. And if we understand this great act, then it's very easy to worship him. It's important to understand this, that we do not worship Jesus because what Jesus can offer us. Are you with me? That if I worship you, Jesus, you'll give me something back in return. No, we worship Jesus for who he is, for what he's done, and why he came to put on flesh, to take our place on the cross, to die in our place, to set us free, to allow us to be in union with the Father, that God would do that for us, that he would come as our high priest to fulfill all the Old Testament promises, to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer, to allow us to be in fellowship with him, to unite us back to him, that God would do this for sinful people like you and I. He did it all for us, and we did nothing. Wow. If that is revealed in my heart, I want to worship him. I want him to be the center of my conversation. I want to be thinking about him all the time. I want to be taking pictures of him and posting it online. Because when the topic of Christ comes up, I want to be going, because he's so important to me, whatever that means. Because he's so important to me. Because he did it all for me, and I did nothing. That's the grace of God. Let me put it this way here. I love staying at hotels. I don't know if there's anyone out there. You know, you check into a hotel room and it's like, it's neat and it's clean. And you go, wow, the bed is all done. And you go into the bathroom and you notice that, wow, it's squeaky clean. And they've got the nice disposable toothbrush and the little soap that you can probably steal for next time. And you even notice that in the toilet, they've got the nice triangular fold in the toilet. And it's great. But let me say this. You put me in that hotel room for maybe half a day and it's a mess. You know, I've got my luggage open. You know, I'll probably fling my shoes to the corner. I'll probably play around with the bed sheet and go into the bathroom and mess it all up. But this is the great thing about staying in a hotel. That when you go off in the morning and do what you have to do, when you come back in the afternoon or in the evening, what happens? Someone tidies up all your mess. Wow. You go back there and you notice all your old clothes have been folded and placed nice in the corner. All the towels, which were once on the floor, have been taken away and new towels nicely folded in the towel rack. Even that triangular fold in the toilet somehow reappears. The bed is beautiful. It's clean. It's tidy. And the great thing is that person, whoever it is, they don't wait at the front door saying, I've been waiting for you to come back. Just to tell you that you're a very messy person. Don't you do this again, because I'm not coming back to clean up your room. No, that person doesn't do that. That person just tidies everything and you do nothing. The gospel is this, that God would come into my world and tidy up the messiness of sin in my life, and I did nothing about it. I didn't do anything. He came into my life and the chaos, the messiness of my world, he would put it back into order. Purely by his grace. He did not wait for me and say, well, Ben, you see what I did? You better behave yourself next time because I won't forgive you. No. The gospel is that I would love you regardless. That I came into your world, met you at your level, to save you, to redeem you, to ransom you, to forgive you and give you new life, to put the chaos, the messiness of sin back into order. And if you understand that, wow, you can't help but worshiping him. Are you with me? You can't help but say, I want to worship you. I want to think about you all the time. Because when your name comes up in a conversation, I get excited. I want to be posting stuff online about you, about what you have done, how you have saved me, how you have rescued me, and not the junk that we put on that pizza we had last night or whatever it is. The holiday we went just recently. But we want to talk about Jesus. Christmas is a reminder for us that he should be the center, the object of our worship. For everyone. That's the first point. Here's the second point. If I know that I should worship Jesus, what next? Take a step towards Jesus and start worshiping him now. Just come as you are to worship Jesus. Now. Come as you are. You notice in the text, the wise men, they travel from afar. They left their place of comfort. They headed towards Jesus to worship him. Now, let's say they were from Babylon. They would say from Babylon to Jerusalem is probably 800 kilometers. All right? That's a lineal, direct line. But if you know the geography of that part of the world, it's quite hilly. So they would say, walking distance with a donkey, camel, whatever, around 1.5 kilometer. Oh, sorry, so 1,500 kilometers. So that's probably from here to Port Hedland. From here to Port Hedland. That is some distance of traveling. That is some distance to start the journey. We are called to start the journey of worship today. Come as you are. Come and worship him now. You don't wait till you think you have it all together before you start worshiping Jesus, because you won't have it all together. You with me? And don't wait till you think you're worthy and good enough to start worshiping Jesus, because you'll never be worthy enough. Come as you are, start the journey now. Take a step, worship him. Now, worship is not just singing a song, no. As I said before, it's having him at the center, your complete joy, your prized possession. And you might say, well, that's going to be hard. Of course it's going to be hard. You reckon the wise men that traveled that distance thought it was an easy trip? It was a long trip. It was a hard trip. Starting anything, any form of discipline will be hard at first, but as you persist, it gets easier. A few months ago, I wanted to start running again. I just felt the best gift that I could give to my wife this Christmas is a nice six-pack. It didn't work. I ran for probably 100 meters, and I got tired, and I started walking back home. But it's not the end. I'm going to try again next year. This time next year. No. The point is this. Any form of discipline, it's hard at the start, but if you persist, it gets easier. Are you with me? For those who are on diets, whatever, you know what I'm talking about. It's hard, those diets. I'm hearing guys in my church having carb diets, right? You guys eat a lot of carbs, is that right? No carbs. It's hard. Someone offers you a nice piece of bread, and like, I want that. Discipline. For those who've just, maybe bought a gym membership, and you say, well, I'm going to start going to the gym. I want to go to the gym, three times a week. It's hard. But if you persist, it gets easier. And that's the same with Jesus. You are called to worship Jesus right now. And don't think that you will go from a non-worshipper to a full-on passionate worshipper within 24 hours. It's not going to work. It has to take time. Small steps. Let's be honest. The reality in worshiping Jesus, putting him as your king, at the center of your life, placing him as priority number one, your prized treasure, it's not easy. I mean, the whole idea of denying yourself, picking up this cross, dying to the self daily, it's not easy. And for some of us, you know, in this church here, you know it up here. You've heard it all before. You know that I've got to worship him more. You know that he's got to be the center of my life. But it needs to get down to here. And the distance from here to here is quite hard. But you've got to start now. Get on the journey now. And we've got all these idols. We've got all these things in our hearts that we've got to really throw away. Because if we don't throw them away, it's very hard to worship him and have him at the center. You know, the idol of laziness, or the idol of I want to sleep in and not wake up and pray, or the idol of work, where I just work and have no time for God, the idol of leisure, the idol of sport, the idol of my family, they're all idols. We have to get rid of them so that we can take that step to worship Him. Start small. Maybe for some of us, it should be a simple prayer in the morning. Jesus, I want to have more of You today. Jesus, I want to remember You during the day. Can I get really uncomfortable with You? These are to the Christians. After Sunday, when do you remember Jesus? Is it next Sunday? Maybe the prayer is, Jesus, I want to remember You today. When you start the morning, before you head to work, before you go to school, before you meet the other people, Lord, may You saturate my heart and may I remember You today. Start small. Maybe the next step is to open the Bible. Have the discipline of reading maybe a small passage. Maybe a chapter. That's it. That's a huge step for some of us every day. You see, these small steps here were quite hard and we want to give up. But if we persist, it gets a lot easier. Maybe it's now we read and we pray and we say, well, God, how do I apply this to my life? God, is this for someone today? God, what are You telling me through Your word? You see, small steps. But we've got to start somewhere. Because let me say, we're not going to go from a non-worshipper to this gung-ho, passionate worshipper like that. No. It takes time. And there'll be days where you hear those voices. Oh, you know, you're not good enough. Just stop it. Don't bother. Or you're a sinner. Or you can't draw close to God because of all that sin you did last week. Or God doesn't want to draw close to you. I just sleep in. Press the snooze button. Don't worry about it. And you hear these voices and you have to make a decision. Do I press on? Do I keep going? And I encourage you to don't give up. Don't stop. Keep at it. Because it's hard at first, but you've got to start somewhere. Come as you are. And as you begin to do it more and persist, I believe it gets easier. And maybe for some of you, you're not even a believer. You don't know Jesus and you're hearing about this Jesus fella and you have no idea who He is and it doesn't make sense. That's okay. I keep coming to a local church near you. Hear the gospel message. Hear what the minister has to say. If you're near here, come to Sun Life and hear what I have to share to you. Get into a small group. Get into a connect group. Open up the Bible. Get someone to help you read this wonderful book. And maybe as you begin to read this book, you're going to draw closer to Him. He's going to draw closer to you. And before you know it, you find yourself worshiping Him. But you've got to start somewhere. Come as you are. James 4:8 reads this, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. As you come closer to Jesus in worship, I believe you will experience this great love of God. For some of us, we're like, nah, I don't want to do it, Pastor. It's okay. If it's not for me, that's fine. But if you want to make a decision and say, you know what, I want to worship Him and I want to start now, come as you are. Don't wait till you're ready, because you'll never be ready. Pray to Him. Get someone to help you read the Bible. Get someone to pray for you. And as you draw close to Him, I believe He's going to come to you like a rushing wind. There's a wonderful parable for those who know in the Bible. It's about this lost son. And the Bible tells us that he takes his portion of the inheritance and he goes and spends it all. And he's having a great time and he realizes that he's spent all the money and now he wants to return home, but he's afraid that his father may not accept him. So he's coming up with all these ideas and excuses and what he can do. You know, he might come back and work with the servants. So as he's drawing to his father, the Bible tells us that his father would rush towards him, run towards him, embraces him, throws this huge homecoming party. That's a picture of a great God who says that, you know, you can start to worship me, start to put me in the center of your life now. Come as you are. Because you come to me, I'm going to run to you. I'm not going to be like that person in the hotel who cleans the room and says, you know, you shouldn't have done that. Bad, bad, bad. No. I'm going to run to you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to give you this great life. There's going to be meaning to your life. That's the God of the Bible. That's the God that we worship here at Sun Life Church. That's the God who came in that first Christmas for you and I to teach us that worship is for everyone. And everyone should start worshiping him now. God wants us to come as you are now. And maybe for some of us, you need to hear this from me. That you spent the whole of this year running away from God. God wants you to come back home because he loves you. There'll be no finger pointing. There'll be no, I told you so. There'll be no, I don't want you. No. There'll be love and grace and joy and happiness. This delight that God wants you to return to him. May this Christmas be a reminder to you to return back to him. That he wants you to worship him and you can come as you are now. May Jesus be the object of our worship. May we draw closer to him this season and the year ahead. And may we worship him no matter where we are at. Amen. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you. Thank you so much for reminding us that Christmas is about you. That you want us to worship you for who you are, for what you have done, Lord. Coming, taking on flesh to be one of us, ultimately to die for us on that cross, God. God, may we really experience that subjectively in our hearts so that we would really wholeheartedly worship you. God, thank you. Thank you so much that we can start worshiping you right now. That we can draw back to you right now. So God, for those whom you're stirring inside their hearts right now, I pray, God, that you would just begin to give them that faith to continue to draw to you. And I pray, God, that as this year comes to an end, next year will be a great year for them. And next year will be a year where they'll be in such intimacy with you, and worshiping you, thinking about you, talking about you, spending time in intimacy with you. I pray that, Lord, and I pray for the Christians here, that God, that this Christmas here, you know, we are proclaiming your goodness, your glory, and talking about you. And not the holidays, and not the meals, and not the presents, or not the Christmas gifts, or Santa, or the trees, but you, Emmanuel, God with us. So I pray, God, that we will be a witness to the people around us, God. That we would, you know, testify of your greatness in coming to be one of us. Baby Jesus, King Jesus. Oh Lord, may you receive all the glory and honor. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.